we continue our study on the book of Ecclesiastes on this series, Remember Now Thy Creator. Tonight's devotion, Drawing Near to God, from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. There are three thoughts that we want to consider from these three verses. First, to prepare yourself. Right? Prepare yourself, be ready to hear, and be not rash with your mouth. Verse 1a, verse 1b, and verses 2 to 3. Up to now, Solomon has delineated for us the vanities of life in the last four chapters. He tells us the profitless endeavors that men embarked upon. And he has tried them all, and he tells us he has found them wanting. They do not satisfy his heart. He felt the emptiness after indulging himself in this pursuit of life under the sun. A life without God, he laments, is meaningless, empty, like a vapor that quickly disappears into oblivion. Most disappointing. And so he is slowly but surely directing us to the worship of the living and true God. And he does so by confronting and evaluating this world's value system, this godless system of the world, which he indulged himself, right, swallowed hook and sinker into the affairs, into the vicissitudes of such a system. And after a while, right, he realized, he saw, he understood that it is lacking. The word that he used to describe for us is crooked, not straight. And he said it cannot be straightened. And he tells us that it is wanting. So he's telling us some important truths in life that we are to consider and meditate upon, right? And you recall the theme in this series of messages from the book of Ecclesiastes, Remember Now Thy Creator. Or more literally, the text is, Now Remember Your Creator. Right? The now comes first. Right? He doesn't want you to waste your life. He's saying to you that to come back to God. And Solomon says, come back immediately. He says, cut the losses and be on the path of true profit for your life. He tells us that all is vanity with one exception, life with God. And he uttered the famous words of the Apostle Paul, whether therefore ye eat or drink, and whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Only that which is done for the glory and honor of God will endure. And so he bids us to go to the house of God and go into the sanctuary to worship God. And he says to us that the jigsaw puzzle of life will fall into place. When you worship God, you will find peace and joy in your heart. You will find wisdom and strength to live life. And so, for the first time since we begin this book, he is referencing himself to God. What took him so long? Have you pondered? Right? Five chapters or four long chapters. Right, you'll find that life, if you consider carefully, yeah, the way he framed the book, is the journey of going astray. Right? We have that tendency, all of us, right, to go astray. Right? And we don't hit rock bottom. We don't experience the futility of trying to live outside God's radar until we realize that, you know, it is not profitable. And so he went through the length and the breadth for us. And then he says, come back to God. As we meditate upon this text, it reminds me of a hymn that was sung to a Korean tune. A hymn that was sung to a Korean tune. I give you the music. Oh, come unto the Lord. Oh, come back to the Lord. No matter how heavy and how great your sins may be, there are no sins that Christ our Savior cannot bear or not accept. The great depth of the Lord's loving heart, it's far deeper, deeper than the skies. Try the second stanza. Oh, come unto the Lord. Oh, come back to the Lord. Our Lord is waiting for your return both night and day. He is anxiously waiting for you, with his doors kept open wide, as if he is waiting in the night for his lost child to come back home. The final stanza. Oh, come unto the Lord. Oh, come back to the Lord. No matter how hard hit and how beaten you may be, the Lord's hand will comfort you greatly. They will touch and will heal you. Oh, come unto the Lord who loves. Please come back home. Please come back home. So, as you ponder the five chapters, the four chapters, as you see how Solomon goes to the length and breadth of life upon earth, right? He's showing to us that it's not worth it, it's not worth it. And so after many, many verses, he tells us, come back to God. Right? That's where you find true wisdom, true peace, true solace. The commentator Charles Bridges said very well. He says, let us go into the sanctuary. Precious privileges belong to the house of God. Never does he fail to cheer his humble worshippers. Is this your experience? It is the experience of every humble worshipper. As you seek God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will find him. And you will find that experience most profitable for you. And so, how then, the question is, should we approach God? Right? He brings us back to God, and you notice that each time he mentions the word God, Right? The word God there speaks of the living and true God, the God. Right? Not any other God, not the gods of this world, right? But the God of Israel. The God of Israel who sent his son Jesus Christ. Right? That is the God, right, who redeemed us, and he wants us to draw near to that God. And so how can we draw near to that God? Well, I have three thoughts. Initially I had four, but I reduced it. Prepare yourself, be ready to hear, be not rash with your mouth. Right? Three thoughts. Okay. First, prepare yourself. Verse 1 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, for they consider not that they do evil. Right? The word keep there means to watch or to guard. It means to keep within bounds. Right? It means to restrain, right, in our context here, of doing evil. Right? Come with a sincere and true heart to draw near to God. Come with a willingness to confess and to mourn for our sins and to make right with God. Most of all, it means living a life of obedience before him. So he says, we are not to give the sacrifice of fools. Now, worship of God is not an outward show, right? For anyone to see that we are pious, that kind of worship is empty. But what God wants from us is to come to him with great reverence and awe before God. Right, because he is a holy God, and we are to know that we are sinners. You know, if not for the grace of God, if not for the mercy of God, you know, we can't draw near to him. We would still be in our sins. We would still be out there. And so we realize, right, that it is God who draws us to him, and that it is by his mercy that we are saved, right? That we have that opportunity to come to worship him. So he tells us that we are not to come to God flippantly. Right? Come prepared. Prepare your heart to approach God. Make time, take time to prepare yourself. And so, in order to help us to see, well, we have selected for us Psalm 5. Right? Psalm 5. As we read, you would be able to see how the psalmist approached God. He was troubled with trials with difficult people that came his way, and he sought wisdom from God for a way forward. Now, what did he say? Right? What did he do when he comes before God? He says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. So we know this God. We know that we can't draw near to him, right? When we want to continue to live, right, a wayward life. That the foolish, verse 5 says, shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. The word there, iniquity, means a bending, a crooked life. Right? So thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. So how did he approach God? He came in the fear of God. Right? He came seeking the mercy of God, right? The mercy of God is something that he gives to us, which we do not deserve, right? We deserve punishment, but nevertheless, right, he came and sought us. He said in verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies." The psalmist faced difficulties, persecutions for his obedience to God's commandment. He sought God for a way out of his predicament. He says, "Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouths, and their inward part is very wickedness." Wow, he says, "Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee." Now, what is he speaking about? Well, he's looking at the world, the people at large who hates God and transgress his commandments. And he says that, you know, let these, right, who destroy thy testimony, who rejects thee, let them not continue, right? But let all those that put their heart in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So here, as we read, you see how the psalmist come to God, knowing who this God is. And you know, there are times we come to God troubled, and many times we come to God troubled because we don't know how to solve life's problems. And we come honestly before God to let him know, right, that we are at our wits' end. We don't know how. And we seek a way forward. Right? And that's how we must be, right, in approaching God. And so it leads us to the next thought. Be ready to hear. Right? Unless we know our need, right, our hearts will not be open. Our ears will not be open. We will not be prepared, right? But he says that not only are you to keep your foot when you go to the house of God, but be ready to hear, right? Come with a prepared heart to listen to the voice of God speaking to you. He speaks to us through his word, in the hymns that we sing, the word of God read and meditated, and the word of God exhorted. What does God require of us? To humble ourselves before him, to ready to hear, ready to obey the instruction that God will give for our spiritual well-being. And so Solomon was also the writer of the Proverbs. And in writing the Proverbs, right, he tells us that in the Word of God there is wisdom. And he tells us that this wisdom is so precious. And then he goes on in chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs to show us how we can appropriate this wisdom. All right, and he tells us in verse 1. All right, he says, "My son, and watch all the verbs that are used." All right, it tells us that we are to be ready to hear the voice of God. So he says, firstly, we are to receive. Right, we are to receive the word of God. And what are we to do? We are to hide them with us. And then we are to incline our ear. Right? What do you mean by to incline? Incline is a posture, all right? A posture, a forward posture. Okay, somebody who is very interested,
right, will be very ready, right, to receive, right, wanting to receive. So all ears, right, hearing. Okay. And he realized that, right, the word of God layers up sound wisdom for the righteous. Right? He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He is a tower, right, of safety for his people. Right? And then he says, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. So God show us, right, how we are to apply his words, right, how we are to make decisions and judge between matters, right? And he tells us that, you know, as you understand God's word, as you appropriate it, how it preserveth you in the pathways of life, then he says, thou shalt understand righteousness, and when wisdom entereth into thy heart. So he's telling us that God's word, right, is to be appropriated in this way, and how that knowledge is pleasant, right, to thy soul. How it's so sweet, you know, like honey. Right, when you take honey, right, it's so revitalizing. You know, it gives you straight away, you know, energy. Right, you can feel it's the sweetness, the strength, you know, in your body as you partake it. Discretion shall preserve thee. Right? God's wisdom, right, teaching you what is the prudent way to live. Right? And understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh froward things. So when God's wisdom comes to us, then we are able to have our eyes open. You know? We can see and we can discern between good and evil, right and wrong, right? Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the froward of wickedness, right? Whose ways are crooked, right? So, you know, our understanding of right and wrong, false truth and error is very clear, right? It's not how you see it or I see it, right? But it is exactly, right, what God wants us to see. We see it that way, and that's it. Right? Nothing vague, all right? And to deliver thee, verse 16 says, from the strange women, even the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, then comes all the warnings. Alright, so as you listen to the word of God, right, the Spirit of God will use the word of God to bring wisdom to your hearts. Right? And verse, our third thought. So he tells us, prepare yourself, be ready to hear, right, and be not rash with your mouth. Right? He says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Right, this writer by the name of Swindle said very well. He says, be quiet and stay calm, because God hears the inaudible and sees the invisible. In other words, let your heart not wander. Do not daydream. Right? Focus and concentrate on your worship of God. So he tells us that, you know, the best thing that a man can do, right, is the worship of God. and you know, and this we have to do well, right? That your life will be whole, your life will be complete, right? And and he tells us to consider carefully what we will utter before God. So the commentator, Jill, and also I took from the pulpit commentary, it says here, in verse 3, this verse is meant to confirm the injunction against vain babbling in prayer. Cares and anxiety in business or other occasion disturb sleep and murder the dreamless repose of the healthy laborer, produce all kinds of sick fancies and imaginations. Just before coming here, you know, I was given a prayer request, right? Suicidal tendencies in young children or young youths, you know, Christians, so sad, right? Alarmed, we were alarmed, right? Then we said we must not take the call for granted. Okay, so here what we are saying is that we are to truly focus and know that God is able to help us. If we would come to Him in faith, He will not leave us on the lurch. If we will come to Him in faith, He will surely help us. He will surely make a way for us through the difficulties of life. And so as we think of verses 2 and 3, Solomon's admonition, he says, be not rash with your mouth. Jesus gave these similar words of warning. And we recall when we were studying the precepts of prayer, we began with this. Right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Remember we said in that message, the precepts of prayer, when we introduced it, it says, pray not like the hypocrite. Right? The hypocrite means one who wears a mask, right? A pretender, a stage actor. It says, in the ancient times, actors put on masks and they act the various roles on stage. So Jesus is warning us against the sin of putting a mask on when we pray. So Jesus warns of the hypocrites who pray because they want to be seen of men, seeking for men's accolades. Right? To them, prayer is a show, right? To impress men, so their prayer is not toward God, but toward self. Not the worship of God, but the worship of self. So we are to be very careful to be sure that our prayer is the sincere worship of God. When we are upon our knees in the very presence of God, we are indeed worshiping God and not allowing self to come in the way. So Jesus asks us to take serious consideration to subdue hypocrisy and to increase the grace of truthfulness in our lives. We are to be sincere in our piety and hating the evils of hypocrisy. So we are to be aware of the deceitfulness of the heart. Right? The hypocrites would love to pray standing in public places so that they may receive the praise of men. Now, this verse does not teach us that we should not pray in public. Right? Prayer is made a mockery by such hypocrites. But what Jesus is saying here to his disciples is to flee such hypocrisy. Right? Jesus did not exhort his disciples to flee public prayer. Right? Jesus is saying don't go. It's not saying don't go for prayer meeting. Right? What he's saying here is that when we pray, right, we are to shut ourselves in, focus, you know. Although you are in a community of God's people, you are to focus so that, you know, you are worshipping God and focusing upon God. And so, you know, God doesn't look for our eloquence, right? God doesn't, God knows and God can discern our motives, all right? So Jesus is saying to us here, all right, that we are to shut ourselves in, focus, right? We are to pray and seek God and God alone, right? He's saying to us, do not be distracted, in other words, okay? So he's telling us that whether you are praying in secret or publicly, you are to do the same, right? Let your prayer be directed solely to God. And so, you see, he begins by telling us that there is one thing that is profitable, and that is the worship of God. And he teaches us how we are to worship God by telling us what we are to do and what we are not to do. So he tells us what are the natural tendencies, and this, he says, we are to avoid. Right? We are to avoid. And so what he wants us to do is to come to him and enjoy the fullness of that relationship with God. So you will know it yourself. Right? As you pray, as you uttered your prayer to God, right? Whether God will answer your prayer or not, you know yourself. Right? Whether God has answered your prayer or not, you yourself know. In your own heart. Because God will speak to you. Right? Will let you know. And this is what we are after, right? That the blessing of God. Right? And so he urges us, teaches us how we are to approach him. Right? And we are to approach him in that way, right? That would bring favor with God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for bringing us once again to thy word and directing us to the study of the thy word to experience a vibrant relationship with the living and true God. O Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy, thy truth, and may thou guide us as we go in now into a time of prayer. This I ask, pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.